Nowhere in God's majestic sovereign power and purpose for our lives is it more beautifully portrayed than in the salvation of our souls. And nowhere is this more beautifully written than in the New Testament book of Ephesians. So I hope you'll get the book, open your Bible to the book of Ephesians this evening. Ephesians 1, beginning at verse 19. Ephesians 1, 19. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. And so, wow, this passage is so rich. Our purpose, our salvation, rests in the sovereignty of God, in His supremacy, in His infinite rule, in His authority, in His power. Because God is above the highest creature in authority, in nature, in being. And God is the most high Lord of heaven and earth and all creation. Praise His name, right? In fact, God had a purpose for each of us before we were born, for all mankind. The decision was made in heavenly places before the foundation of the world, before creation, before the foundation was laid. Look at verse 3 here in Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. And so Paul is simply challenging us to think about the fact that God's choice to send Christ, it wasn't a last-minute decision. The church, the kingdom of Christ today, is not an accident of history. There's some false teachers that say Christ came the first time and He failed, and so the church was established. Not according to Paul. By inspiration, this was God's plan. Our fellowship with God is the result of a deliberate and well-planned action by God. God's sovereign, powerful, eternal purpose for our lives was worked out exactly according to His will. Look at verse 11. In Him, or in Christ also, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be put or should be to the praise of His glory. Today when we want great things done, we look for great people to do them, right? God is different. When God spoke to Israel in the Old Testament, He had one motivation for what He did for them. I want to read Deuteronomy 7, 7 and 8. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, that was His motivation. And so He chose Israel. It was according to His will, His purpose. And He loved them. Throughout the Old Testament, God didn't just choose extraordinary people to do extraordinary things. He chose ordinary people like us to do the extraordinary through His power. But God also chose, before the foundation of the world, to save us in His Son, Jesus Christ. It was done according to His will. And here in Ephesians, Paul reminds us that God purposed every person to be in Christ. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, Peter wrote. And all of this was according, Paul tells us in Ephesians, according to the good pleasure of His will. Not because of what we've done, what we've accomplished, not because of who we are. But verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And so some will ask, well, why? Why was God's sovereign decision made to send Christ? God's sovereign, powerful, purposeful choice was made to freely give us salvation in Christ. That was His goal. You remember Jesus came and He told His own disciples that the house of that wee little man was He, Zacchaeus. He told them exactly what His purpose was. This is God's will, to seek and to save the lost. Here in Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. That's God's purpose. And that was His decision. It had nothing to do with, again, how good mankind was, because they were not good. It had to do with God's choosing, not ours. God chose that He would count every person in Christ through His blood, holy and blameless. And that decision was made before the first man took his first breath. Before creation, God purposed this in eternity. In the first verse of Ephesians, Paul wrote to the saints who are in Ephesus. And don't be misled by the world's concept of sainthood. According to God's word, all Christians are saints. But we're not saintly because of what we've accomplished. The Bible tells us, this is interesting, Isaiah 64:6, Isaiah says, all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. And so, if we provide our own righteousness, we're going to fail. We're righteous only because Jesus Christ died on the cross, so that we could be righteous. I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. I wrote this in my notes. I think this is from the New NIV, but it reads this way. God made Jesus, to be sin for us. He became sin on our behalf that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. And that "in Him" is a key there. One of the greatest messages in Scripture that you'll ever comprehend is Ephesians 1:7. In Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood. The price has been paid, in other words. We've been bought back by the blood of Christ. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What you can't do, what I can't do, God chose to do through His majestic, sovereign power. Boy, we kind of hear that so much, we take it for granted, don't we? He made you a saint. He made you His child. He made provisions for the forgiveness of your sins. He made the purchase price for your sins. He made His Son a lamb worthy to be sacrificed for your sins. Now, as I'm saying "your," I'm thinking me, okay? He made provisions for your eternal home, and He made you acceptable to live with Him eternally. No wonder John said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called sons of God." Children, the children of God. 1 John 3:1. And so God predetermined our salvation in Christ so that all creation might know the intent of His eternal purpose. I mean, from before the beginning. Salvation in Christ, that's always been God's plan. Isn't that amazing? We've been studying the Old Testament passages that point to Jesus, and it's just obvious this has always been God's plan. God's plan for salvation, in fact, was a mystery until Christ came. It was a mystery, but now the mystery is totally revealed. That's right here in Ephesians. Look at chapter 3, verse 9. Paul says, "Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both of which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him," in Christ. He's kindly highlighting that, isn't it? It's all in Christ. "In Him," in Christ also, "we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory." And so God purposed our salvation. He also purposed our salvation in Christ that we can approach God boldly. In the Bible, the concept of boldness is having the permission to speak your heart, to speak what's on your mind. And so we come before the throne of God boldly. We can speak what's on our hearts as we approach God. And so here in chapter 1, Paul makes it clear that the purpose of God's decision was to provide salvation in Christ. And so it's in Christ, verse 5, that we've been adopted as sons. It's in Christ that we've received God's glorious grace, verse 6. In verses 7 through 9, it's in Christ that we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. That's a whole sermon series right there. And so amazingly, God's sovereign choice before the foundation of the world was to give us every spiritual blessing in Him, in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. Try to imagine having a bank account with unlimited funds for everything you need. No matter what you need, you know that the funds will be there. You don't have to worry about bounced checks or declined debit cards. In fact, you don't have to worry about keeping track of what you spend, because it doesn't matter. The balance will always be the same. The account will always be full. Everything you need will always be there. That's what Paul's talking about in a spiritual sense. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with a few spiritual blessings. No. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing that has its source in heaven is ours. I find it interesting to read what people say and do after they win the lottery. And, you know, one of the very common things that's said is, I just can't believe this. And then they go blow all the money. Can you wrap your head around the fact that you have won the spiritual lottery? The spiritual grand prize, however you want to put it. You and me, unworthy creatures that we are, have all spiritual blessings in Christ. And there's no greater test of faith, by the way, in accepting that that's true. Accepting that you really are forgiven. Me? Yeah, you. Me? Yeah, me. I'm forgiven. God has purposed to unite everything in heaven and on earth into Jesus Christ, making one new creation. Look at verse 16. And that He might reconcile them both. Of course, He's talking about Jews and Gentiles. Chapter 2, verse 16. That He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. Therefore, putting to death the enmity. This leaves no one out. This places the price tag of priceless on every soul, both Jews and Gentiles. It's not that, as John Calvin said, it's not that some are chosen and some are not. Christ came for all of us, every one of us. Look at verse 9 here in chapter 1. We read this earlier, but having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in Him, in Christ. All are chosen. God chose to reveal this mystery through weak, sinful people called saints. God has chosen to reveal it to the world, to principalities and powers in the heavenly places. You know how? Through you and me. We make it known. And the beauty of all of this is that everyone can be saved in Christ. And so God's sovereign choice includes each of us who choose to believe, surrender to Christ, be obedient to Christ, live in faith to Christ, following Him. Look at verse 13. In Him, in Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Now, I want to stop right here. That pattern has never been different. We believe, mankind believes, after they hear the word of truth. Isn't that amazing? In the first century, when Peter preached that first gospel sermon, just as it was true then, it is true today. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, in Christ also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's the progression. We trust after hearing truth. And then hearing and believing, we obey. And being filled with godly sorrow, we repent. And then we confess with our lips and our life from that day forward that Jesus Christ is exactly claimed to be the Son of God. And then we're buried with Christ by baptism into death and are forgiven of our sins. God remembers them no more. And then we're even sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We'll talk about this in other lessons, but that is the guarantee of our future inheritance. God now lives in us through the Holy Spirit, in the form of the Holy Spirit. And He wants all of us to be sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians speaks volumes to those who feel like they've been forgotten by God. Folks who feel like they've been dealt a rotten hand, so to speak. You know what sin provides us, right? Sin always deals us a rotten hand. But God's eternal purpose is to salvage our lives through the blood of Christ. You can know that God has a purpose for your life. Remember, if God can rule the heavens and the earth, He can bless your life. He's capable. God's sovereign power and purpose, they provide a place of salvation, which is in Christ, but it's through the power of human choice that we take advantage of that salvation. We hear the word of truth. We hear what God has done. We understand what God has done. And we respond to what God has done through faith. God's offered each of us a refuge in Christ. It's up to each of us individually to seek that refuge. And so God's eternal purpose provides a purpose for your life, in that He wants you to become a new creation in Christ. Is it mind-boggling that God wants you more than anything else? And this has been His plan from before the foundation of the world. He wants you to be His child in heaven forever with Him. That's the plan. Tonight, if you need to come, please come now while we stand and sing.